Healthy Children with the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Melanie Cole.
Every year in August, National Immunization Awareness Month gives us that opportunity to highlight the value of immunizations and vaccines across your lifespan. My guest is Dr. David Hill, fan favorite here on Healthy Children. Dr. Hill, welcome to the show. Let's talk about immunizations and vaccines, because for some reason this year, and this is August, so we're recognizing the Immunization Awareness Month, but for some reason this year, with the anti-vaxxers motion, everything, we have been hearing more about this than I can remember in any years past. Why don't you start with your best advice on the importance of vaccines and why this is such a big deal?
Well, first of all, I feel really excited to get to do this show, because this really has been the revolution in healthcare in the last 100 years. You know, of everything that I do for kids, that I try to do to keep them healthier, to make them healthier if they're not healthy when I see them, nothing comes close to keeping them vaccinated. I've got 5 kids in my house. They're all vaccinated on time and completely. And I think that's the most important thing that I can share. I am just old enough to remember some of the diseases that we can prevent now, things like Haemophilus influenza B, meningitis, and pneumococcal meningitis, which were horrendous and horrible. And I've got this luxury now in this generation of not worrying that when I see a child in this office, they're likely to have measles and infect half the other kids in the office while at it. I don't have to worry that every time I see a child with an ear infection or a fever, it's going to progress to meningitis, for example, and land them in the hospital, maybe with permanent brain damage. And these are scary-sounding things. I don't want to go for scare tactics, but I do want to be realistic about the things that we have this luxury of not seeing anymore. It's really amazing. And I think that's one of the reasons that people have come to be complacent about vaccines, is because for the most part, we don't have to witness the suffering of children from these diseases that we can now prevent. On the other hand, you said that this year you've heard a lot about vaccines, both pro and con, and I think one of the reasons is that there has been, in the last few years, a resurgence of vaccine-preventable diseases because of decreased vaccination rates in a lot of places. Most notably, we've seen a resurgence of measles, both in the United States and in Europe, that is truly frightening, with outbreaks that largely start among unvaccinated kids who've traveled to other parts of the world where these diseases are endemic, and then they come back to a convention where a lot of people who don't vaccinate might be, and they spread it around. Although you can spread measles too to vaccinated people if they have an immune deficiency, or they're not completely vaccinated, or they're one of those handful of people in whom the vaccine wasn't fully effective. So making sure that everybody is vaccinated is the way that we protect the entire population, and that is really critical. And when enough people opt out and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this, the entire population becomes susceptible to these diseases, not just the people who opted out. So you're seeing, I think, a little bit of a backlash now from people who don't want their children exposed to these diseases. They don't want these dangers brought into their communities. And they're getting vocal now, too, and saying, you know what? Yeah, I hear that you don't want to vaccinate, but you're not only putting your child at risk, you're putting my child at risk. We've seen this debate occur successfully in California in the legislature to get children vaccinated going into school. And I think that's why you're hearing so much about it.
Well, they're even in California, I think it is, now getting rid of some of those restrictions, those loopholes that they were letting people use for religious beliefs and other reasons to allow them to opt out of the vaccination schedule. And so I think that that's a good step in the right direction. Are all the states in this awareness month, are all the states, do they require vaccinations prior to school, or are there some states that you don't really have to be vaccinated if you don't want to?
You know, I am no expert on state vaccine laws in every 50 state, in all of the 50 states. As far as I understand, every state has some degree of vaccine requirement. And the real question is, what is the nature of a vaccine exception, right? In every state, if your child has some illness that would prevent them from being safely vaccinated, maybe they have a severe immune deficiency, they're being treated for cancer, obviously your child doesn't need to be vaccinated if it's dangerous to them, according to a qualified doctor's recommendation. Now the question comes, well, what if you just don't like vaccines? Well, there are various rules about that. In some states, you need to have a religious exception, and there are very few religions that are against vaccines. Most of the major religious leaders have actual statements explaining how vaccinations are compatible with their religious tenets, but there are a few religions that are opposed to medical care. And in many states, if you're a valid member of one of those religions, then they say, okay, we see this. Then there are these personal exemptions, which is, you know, it's not my religion. I just have my doubts. I don't like them. I'm not comfortable with them. And that's where the battles are taking place. Because like we said, individual rights are sort of limited at the place where they encroach on my rights. So, you know, in North Carolina, I've got the right to shoot a gun in a lot of places, but not in the middle of the mall, for example. That's not okay, because when I shoot my gun in the middle of the mall, I'm likely to hurt somebody. And that's where these legal questions are. If you don't vaccinate your child for measles, they might give my child the measles, and now your exercise of your rights is potentially infringing on my right to have a child without measles. And this is where the lawyers and the activists are getting together and trying to figure out where we have a society that respects freedom and personal beliefs and yet also doesn't lead to the resurgence of some of these diseases that we're now seeing.
What do you say to patients that ask you, Dr. Hill, about the safety and efficacy of vaccines and this combination of vaccines, MMR, for example, which has been at the top of the news because of that whole controversy and the fact that it's more than one vaccine in one shot. So what do you say when they say, well, can we alternate the schedule? Or I don't like that there's so many vaccines getting all at once. That's so dangerous. What is it you want to say right now to parents?
You know, the way that I always try to have this conversation is looking at comparative risk. I have nothing in the world that is risk-free. And they'll say, well, Dr. Hill, you're going to tell me that there are no risks at all to any vaccines. And I'm going to say, no, I am not going to say that. Everything that we do has some kind of risk. The question is, am I trading a low risk for a high risk? That's the question. Are there risks to vaccines? Sure. You can look this up online. You'll find all sorts of things. That's why we have the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting Network, so that we can learn. There have been vaccines pulled off the market. One of the polio vaccines was, one of the rotavirus vaccines, for very small numbers of adverse events. But when we recognized these events were occurring, we didn't say, well, keep giving the vaccine. We said, oh my gosh, we need to do something about that. Stop. Let's figure this out, right? So are there risks? Yes. Do we have a system for identifying them and pulling vaccines when those risks are identified? Yes, we do. So then the question is, what's the risk of not vaccinating? And those risks are very well known, and they are much higher than the risks of vaccinating. So, you know, somebody says, I'm not going to put my child in a car seat because I know this child who's in an accident was thrown from the car in the accident, and that's the only reason they survived. I say, okay, that happened. That is trading a very high risk for a very low risk, because we know putting your child in a restraint vastly decreases their chances of getting killed in a car accident. I know you heard about this one person. So it's the same thing. It's all about trying to create a risk package for the child and the parent that is as low as it can possibly be.
Best advice. We only have 20 seconds left.
Boy, best advice? Do what I and every other pediatrician I know and work with does. Get your kids vaccinated on time and completely. We do this every day. I feel good about it.
It's great advice. Get your kids vaccinated. And if you want more information, you can go to the CDC. They have great, great information for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, cdc.gov vaccines. It's so important for your children and for my children. You know we're passionate. This is not a debate. It's just something we all need to do. So be knowledgeable. Get your kids vaccinated. Stay tuned. We have more great show coming up. Stay well.